Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are, but I hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow. You can also check us out on our website at ICBW Podcast. All of our past episodes are there on the website. And hey, check it out. Be on the lookout for our new merchandise store coming later this quarter. We're going to have a kind of like a mini rebrand of the logo, introducing two more choices, maybe three more choices of the I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It brand. And we appreciate your support in advance. Need you to buy about 30 or 40 of them joints, man. When you see a drop, we appreciate you. And now, without further delay, we're going to get this thing rolling. Reg is, he's out to lunch. So while he's out lunching, we're going to go ahead and put this thing together, man. I have a young lady with us today that is there's a great author, best-selling author. And you know, we told you guys earlier in the year that we were going to highlight at least 15 authors in 2019. That was our commitment. We wanted to highlight people that were contributing to the art of writing and making sure that people know about these authors, man, because they're up and coming or actually established authors as well. And we wanted to be sure that folks knew about these people because the subject matter varies across everybody that we're going to be interviewing this year. And some of this stuff is going to hit home to you and is going to inspire you and is going to, you know, spark you to make changes in your life. So our guest today is a co-parenting and blended family expert, certified parent coach, speaker, MBA, and best-selling author of The Single Mother Diaries, where she offers leadership tips and coaching for single, divorced, and blended parents in the three most important aspects of their lives. That's parenting, relationships, and careers. She supports parents with making wiser decisions that benefit them personally and professionally. She has also started a series of children's books and that focus on social issues such as bullying. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, author Aria Clark. Aria, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Lou. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Welcome to the show. We are blessed to have you today.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And we want to jump right into your work today, because this particular subject matter is, when you're talking about blended families and you're talking about, obviously, there's some, you know, dissolution of relationships and the aftermath thereof. I think that this topic is going to hit far more people than anybody could actually realize. So we really want to get into it today, and we want to talk about how you're helping people that are going through these transitions and things like that. So you going to help us out with that today?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, something that we, I mean, other than the bio, what is something that about Aria, Craig, that you can tell us that is going to pique people's interest?
Oh, wow. Other than the bio. Well, I'm actually currently for a second initiative working on a second business. I did open it some time ago and had to dissolve it because I saw that there was a need in the corporate environment for my type of skills. So I'm kind of working back in that type of capacity right now. In a couple of years, I plan to go back to it because my initiative is to hire people in my business. A lot of people don't think of that. A lot of people depending on the type of field of interest that they're going to open their own business. They kind of look at it like if they're a business coach or something like that, they just have like their team around them to help them support them with social media. But I want to make this into like to where I have like different storefronts. So that's a big thing that I'm trying to work on separate from the Aria Craig, best-selling author, co-parenting, blended family coach.
Okay. In regards to your writing, what led to you writing about or just writing in general? I mean, did you discover that you had a gift, or was there some, you know, some inspiration? You know, were there certain authors that you, you know, patterned your style after and you say, hey, you know what, I think I can do this? Or was it just, you know, the experience, you know, life experience that said, hey, look, you know, I think I need to write a book about my life? Tell the listeners about that.
Well, it's actually two answers to that question. When I was younger, I would say probably around 7, 8, 9 years old, my aunt, during the summertime, my aunt would take my sister and I to the library. She was working on her first or her second master's degree, so she wanted to make sure that during the time that we were on spring and summer break, that we wouldn't, you know, lose or not retain any of the information and knowledge that we had during school. So she would take us to the library and she would check out 2 to 3 books, and she would also get a newspaper and she would have us do a book report on the books, and we would have to do like a 1 paragraph summary on the articles in the newspaper that we would choose. So that was very profound. Now moving forward and fast forwarding to maybe about 7 or 8 years ago when I first started writing the Single Mother Diaries. There was a guy at my church that I worship, one of the brethren, told me, because I always got a lot of accolades and compliments in the way that I raised my son. So he said, you know, there are a lot of people that could benefit from you and you guiding them with, you know, changing their mindset, with being successful, with how to raise their children and that type of capacity as a single mom. So I thought, you know, I look back on that experience with my aunt teaching us how to write, and being very strong in that particular, you know, that, I don't want to say it in writing, I wouldn't say, and thought that that would be a good idea. I probably should write a book. So I wrote two now, but I'm working on the third part of the series, and I'm working on the coaching part of the book for single, divorced, and blended moms.
Okay. So as far as the, you know, the blended family, did you have any type of, do you have any type of hesitation or trepidation in regards to writing about that subject matter? Or was it something that you just say, hey, look, I really need to get this out here? I mean, what was the catalyst that said, hey, look, you know, I really need to write about this? Because I know you said that one of the gentlemen at your church, you know, was really encouraging in regards to you helping others. But when you decided to zero in on this particular subject first, because I know you speak about other things as well, what was that tipping point? Was it just your life experience, or did you do some type of analysis, or was it just an innate passion that was inside of you?
Well, for the single parent part, the single mother part, that was from my own personal experience and for what I've seen around me, like cousins and friends that were single moms. The blended family part actually came when I got married.
Okay.
Because when I married my husband was divorced. He was married right out of college and had 3 children by his wife, and he got divorced, and then he and I met. And seeing how the dynamic was between his children and him and his ex-wife, how now was very different. The children were kind of a little confused, like, okay, I don't understand where this is going now. They had to move out. They're living in separate homes. They're coming to see their dad. Here and there, they would, you know, spend time with him in different functions, or they would go to different outlets or vacations or whatever. But they primarily live with their mom. They were used to living with both parents, so they were kind of still confused trying to figure out what to do. And he was, too. So he was actually I don't want to say the device. He was a learning mechanism for the blended parent book. He was the inspiration behind it.
Okay. If someone had to, or if you had to describe your writing style, what would that particular style be? It is, because I know some people, especially academics, you know, I read a lot, and, you know, people with these PhDs and everything else, sometimes they write on a level where people can't really understand. How would you describe, you know, your particular writing style? Is it conversational? Is it, you know, like one-to-one type of writing? How would you describe that?
would think is very conversational and it's very direct. Like, I'm going to say it in a way to where, in layman's terms, where everybody understands it. It's I'm trying to reach out to you and get to the core of you without you trying to have to figure out what I'm trying to say and get a dictionary. Like, what does this mean? No, I'm speaking to an audience who I'm very familiar with and who understands what I've gone through because they're going through it too. So it's almost like I'm talking to a friend and she or he gets it.
Okay, that's refreshing to hear because, you know, especially when you're dealing with these types of issues, people don't want to be, you know, talked down to per se or to you feel like that they have to reach up to a different level, you know, to get the information that they need to get from people who are trying to help them out. So that's definitely good to know. Again, you know, we talked about the inspirations, you know, for writing, and you talked about your husband being one of them. Do you have any type of literary inspirations that you look to?
You know what? At the point that I was writing the book, I read a lot of books. I have actually a library in the far corner of my townhouse. I did not have one in particular, but I can tell you that today I love Michelle Obama's Becoming book.
Oh, really?
I can relate to her. I love that book.
I haven't read it yet. I actually downloaded it on I have an Audible account through Amazon that I listen to when I'm sitting at my desk sometimes, and I downloaded that, but I haven't listened yet. So you say it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's really good. And I especially like the Audible book because I have the physical copy and I have the Audible book that my son got me for Christmas, and she's narrating it.
Oh, okay.
So it's even more personal because she's talking about, you know, I'm from Chicago, her experiences growing up in Chicago.
Okay, so you can definitely relate to that then.
I can.
All right. Now you mentioned before in our correspondence that you try to teach confidence for single, divorced, and blended moms. When you talk about the confidence, can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit? How would you actually do that? Because, you know, being a man, I mean, I really wouldn't know it. Are there certain experiences that are specific to women that that you speak to that would instill that particular type of confidence?
Yeah, with single moms and even with divorced moms, there's like a stigma attached to being a single or a divorced mom, more so a single mom.
Okay.
Especially
in our community too.
Oh yes, absolutely. I actually just spoke at a women's conference at South Suburban College here on Friday. And I got actually a lot of great feedback from the attendees, and they really could, they understood what I meant when I said stigma. You know, if you're pregnant, and I put on one of my slides the different statistics that I've learned from 2016 to 2018 regarding single moms.
Okay.
About just a small portion of them having degrees, how a lot of them are on some type of government assistance, how a lot of them, once they are a single mom, once they are a single mom again. And so I'm trying to change the mindset around it's not just about being a single mom, but just making sure you're making decisions moving forward so that you're not putting yourself back in the same situation. So building that confidence to where you're not going down the same path. It's like the definition of insanity. You're not making the same type of decisions and getting the same type of results.
Okay. So you're basically putting some, I mean, you would have to, you know, give some relationship advice, you know, within I'm assuming.
Yes.
Like, you know, maybe, you know, things that people have overlooked within past relationships and try to help them sidestep those, you know, those same types of decisions.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, on the co-parenting, without giving out the, you know, the details of, you know, of any of your work, you know, fully at this particular point, but what type of, if there are like 2 to 3 things that, you know, that divorcees, you know, really need to focus on when it comes to co-parenting, because it seems like that, you know, whenever a relationship has to be dissolved, it seems like that we can't manage the, you know, the separation. I mean, it's kind of hard to take out the emotion of actually having to separate from your partner and do what's best for, you know, for the child. I mean, for whatever reason. You know, when you get to those particular types of situations and the situation may not be ideal, or it may be volatile, or just may be bitter, you know, from one end or the other, what are some, you know, really quick tips that you could, you know, that you could give out to help people, you know, cope with those types of situations? Because I'm sure at this particular point, you've seen it all. So give the listeners just a couple things that could be transitive across, you know, any situation of how to, you know, effectively co-parent.
I think that if you're in it, in a, if you're a single mom or a divorced mom or even father, you know, I was talking and wrote the book from my perspective, but I also talk about single and divorced fathers in the book. But I think being around a group of people who have been there before and trying to figure out how to heal and cope with it so that they can move forward. One of the things that I've discussed in this last, and I actually discussed it before, but at this last event that I had to speak at, was for us oftentimes, for women, men are, it's just easier for men to move forward to somebody else. Women, it takes a little bit longer because they have to sort through their emotions. So I think just being in a group of women who are, if it's like an empowerment or a motivational, some type of group for single moms, and they're figuring out how do I navigate this now and move forward, that's always helpful. Also, understanding communication, because at this point now, you're not together, you're not with the child's father anymore. You have to learn how to communicate effectively to where you're not in, pushing forth or putting in any type of bitterness and anger in the relationship with your child, because your child is going to see that. If you're angry with your son's father, you're going to take it, eventually you're going to wind up taking it out on your son. So you have to really figure out how to balance and remove your emotions from whatever you've gone through with the child's father, with the child, and look at this separate. And also with understanding that, which is so important, I actually have a cousin that's going through this right now, with the communication part, is not speaking negatively about the other parent. Because that's very difficult. It's very difficult, especially for us moms, when we're just, and if you have a son, it's even easier for you to see the son, the father in that son, because it's a male.
Right.
So you're looking at the father and the son at the same time. So just making sure you're not saying anything negative about the child's father around the child. And when the child grows up, I'm telling you, they're going to respect you for that. Because they're building their own relationship. They don't need you imposing your emotions or what you felt with their father. They have nothing to do with that. They just want to love, they just want both of their parents loving on them and guiding them and supporting them through life.
Right. Because it's a hard enough time not having the nuclear dynamic, you know, of a two parent household, you know, once you've had it as a child, and then all of a sudden you don't have it because you just don't have the emotional maturity to be able to sort through it. Even as a late teen, I mean, you don't fully understand it. So those are some really important points. So let me ask you a follow up question to that. Why do you think it is so difficult? Because you touched on it, you said it's hard to do, to not speak negatively. Why do you think that is so hard? Because it almost seems like common sense if you really have the welfare of your child or the emotional stability of your child at heart. Why is that so difficult for some women?
It's hard to detach because this is a person who you have to think about it. This is a person who you had strong feelings for, probably more so at some point, or even was in love with, and now you're not even with this person anymore, and you created a person, a human being with this person. So a lot of women, even if they are pregnant before they get married, a lot of women still have the thought that, okay, we're going to still be together. Some kind of way we're going to wind up being in a long-term relationship or eventually get married. So once that goes south and they're not in a relationship anymore, it's almost like they feel like I have this child who's going to be in my life forever. And this is a constant reminder of whatever direction, this relationship went in. And then if this person, they look up and they see that the father has started dating someone else, they're even more bitter and angry. So they don't have that man to take it out of. The next person close to them, you know, is they're kind of poured it out on their child.
Okay. Now we're definitely on this particular show. I mean, we're advocates of Black folks in particular receiving therapy. Is that something that you you recommend, you know, through the course of your lecturing and your writing and your teaching? Is that something that you recommend to help deal, you know, with those particular types of situations and the residual type of, you know, feelings that may be left over? Because, I mean, honestly, that type of thing can eat somebody from the inside out and really affect their lives, you know, going forward. It could spiral into something that's unmanageable eventually. So do you recommend therapy or anything like that during your course of lecturing?
I absolutely advocate for therapy, for counseling. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's important.
All right. So when you talk about the blended family dynamics, because you have obviously a wealth of experience because, you know, you're walking that particular, life. I mean, you know, it's your family's never going to not be blended. So as long as you stay married. So I know that's a daily task that needs to be managed, no matter how comfortable it may get, over time. But, starting out, if someone finds themselves in a position where they're all of a sudden part of a blended family, or they're having to, having to welcome other children that aren't theirs, into the family, what are some of the tips that you would give to that particular person? I mean, without going, into too much detail, but just offering, just some quick tips about that.
Well, first of all, if you're dating someone, this is before the marriage, if you're dating someone that's been, you've been in a long-term relationship with them, you should already know by this point that they have children, like what the ages are, where they live, with whatever the relationship is with this man and his children, and even the mother or mothers at this point. So you already should be thinking in your mind at the point to where you think that things are getting serious enough with your significant other, with this man, that eventually you're going to have to meet the kids and you're going to have to establish a relationship with them. And if you guys get married, you're going to be their stepmother. So that's important, thinking about it at the beginning instead of waiting until later. And also making sure that, the one of the things that I've seen before, which I think is pretty sad, and I know you've seen it too, when you have a father who has a child or children, and then he dates or marries another woman, and she's not really supportive of that other, the mother. It's almost like a jealousy thing. Like, she's jealous of the mother, which I never understood that, because I've gone through that in my own situation. It's like, you've married him, so I don't understand what the jealousy part is. Everybody should be at this point rallying around supporting this child's development and growth. So that's what your mind should be. It's not going to be about me. And even if you don't have children, but it should be about me, this man, and his children. I'm now taking this children like I'm accepting him as my family.
Right, right. So let me ask you this. Along the same lines, and I don't want to make this question too difficult, but would your advice be the same for, let's just say, a single woman who's found herself single, but has kids, going into a blended type of relationship, and a single woman without kids that is actually going into a blended family where she is now going to be, responsible in part, for the growth and development of children that aren't hers? Are there different sets of, rules of engagement, for lack of a better term? I mean, would you give the same advice, or would you, differentiate the approach based on those two particular types of situations?
I would give the same advice. But I think that at a period of time, it's pretty much at the point of that man's position to figure out when he's going to bring his children around his girlfriend who does not have children. It makes it a little bit easier when you have, especially if they're around the same age, if you have a girlfriend who has children already, if you're seeing her and how she's interacting with her own children, that's going to be a very much a key, from a man's perspective, of how you're going to relate to her, how she's going to relate to your children, or if you guys are even going to work out at that point. Because if you see her mistreating her children or not, after a certain point in time, being a good mother, you're not going to want to, at least I would think, want to enter into a long-term relationship with her at that point, especially when you're thinking about how she's going to be with your children.
Exactly.
But if you're talking about a woman who doesn't have children, and you're entering into a relationship and you have children, you got to see how she's going to be around your children. Mm-hmm. You have to, there has to be some kind of bringing together to bridge this gap, to see how good of a mother is she going to be. How is she going to be with my daughter? Because, boys are close to their mothers and daughters are close to their fathers. So is this woman going to get jealous if she sees me spend a lot of time with my daughter, if I have to stop what I'm doing or break off some type of date or some type of engagement with her to go and see about my daughter, if my daughter is in distress or she needs me right then? Like, how is she going to feel about that? that's probably where I will say there's a caveat.
Okay. So, and I guess it also is going to depend on, I guess, maturity level, just for lack of a better term. And people have to be mature enough to understand what the situation is. And again, if any healthy relationship is going to probably have addressed those particular types of situations up front, hopefully, you know, if you're old enough and mature enough to call yourself being in a relationship, I guess. But now I have a very, very, very specific question.
Okay.
And it's not specific to your situation or my situation, but just it's a situation that is very specific. From a single mother's perspective, or just say from a mother's perspective, she's in this blended relationship now. What does that mother do when the kids don't accept her as a step parent, or vice versa? If if her kids don't accept the stepfather as a step parent, I mean, if there's some, you know, all the adults are cool, all the adults are playing nice, they're on the same page, you know, rallying around the kids, so on and so forth, but the kids are just not having it. I mean, what type of advice would you give for that?
And it's different advice, because I've dealt with that myself. When I'll start with the second part first, and then do the other part last.
Okay.
When you have a situation to where, you said when the children are not really rocking with this new person,
right? Nothing wrong. I mean, the person hasn't done anything. It's just teenagers being teenagers. Or, you know, or young kids just being, you know, rebellious young kids, however you want to categorize it, but they're just not hitting it off.
And that's something that if you have been in a relationship with somebody for a nice period of time, what you want to do, you know, I never encourage people at the very beginning introducing their new person to their children. That's because you don't know how this is going to work for you.
Right, right.
So you
could be asking for some unwanted fireworks right off the bat.
Right. You already opening the can of worms. Like, right. No. So after you realize, yeah, this is somebody who I can see myself with, you know, I'm just going to say from a woman's perspective. If you have a child, if you have children and you've been with this person for a while and you're like, you're ready to take it to the next level, both of you are, and my son or my daughter meets this man, and at first they seem to hit it off, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm starting to see there's something going on here, after they've been, you know, seeing each other or been around each other for a little while, you have to ask your children what's going on. Like, what is going on to where you don't feel, you're feeling some type of contention with this person? What is going on? Where does the gap lie here? And then listen to your kids. Sometimes it could be to where they just used to mommy being with daddy. You know, right, they just want mommy and daddy to get back together. They're selfish like that. They're not, you know, they're not going to want to see, they're not going to understand that mommy needs to move on to be happy. Daddy has. They're not thinking about that. They just know that they just want both of their parents to get back together. Now, if that be the case, if you're seeing that that's the issue, then that's when you guys got to kind of, I will, at that point, just, if you know that you are about to enter into some type of long-term commitment with this person, that's when you need to go to counseling.
Okay.
Now, if this person's like, I don't like him because he's being mean, like when mommy steps out the room, he's being mean to him, or he's being mean to her, then when mommy comes back in the room, all of a sudden he's got this game face on. It's just a completely different person. Then that's something completely different. Then you need to question whether or not this is somebody that you need to be involved in, because now there's some kind of hidden and underlying thing going on between your child and this person that you're not aware of. And now your child's like, yeah, he cussed me out, or he said something mean to me, or he touched me inappropriately. I mean, at that point, you know you need to leave that alone altogether.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's move on to, because I mentioned in the intro that you're a certified parent coach and you're a speaker. So let's talk about the parent coaching. Is that something that you offer on a one-on-one basis? Is it something that you offer online? I'm assuming that's part of your current business model, correct?
It is.
Okay. How can someone reach out to you? Because we know that, you know, 51 or 52% of marriages end in divorce now. So there's at least half the country that could benefit from those particular types of services. So how can they reach you, you know, specifically in regards to that?
Well, they can go to my website. I have a scheduling tool in place where they can click whichever one of those types of one of those coaching sessions will work out for them. They can just click the button and try to schedule an appointment with me. I also offer 15-minute free complimentary consultations with them to figure out what exactly is going on here. And then we can enter into some type of a coaching agreement and have some sessions where we could kind of figure out what's going on and kind of balance that out.
Okay. So what's the website again?
The website is www.ariacraig.com.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned, I read in the bio that you started a series of children's books that are going to have a focus of bullying, right, and other social issues. What prompted you to, get into that particular type of discussion? Because it's a big deal now, especially with the explosive growth of social media, the exposure that our kids have to that medium, and the types of things that they're exposed to repeatedly, and also, without, a lot of control. I mean, parents, can exercise control, but I mean, you can get on these social media sites just about anywhere now. So what made you go into, into that particular type of form?
I had a friend who's also an author who wrote a book about a different type of social issue, and it really took off because he has a nephew that deals with autism. So that really took off for him.
Okay.
So I figure, what other way when you're at a children's book conference than to talk about issues related to children? And since I've experienced it myself and I know how it goes, even though it's a little bit different now in this day and age, when it happened to me, I was 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old. And this was sometime in the late 80s. Now here it is, social media has impacted a lot of people's lives because you have a lot of people that can make comments and bully from one perspective or another without ever having to meet a person. So I figure if we're trying to figure out how to solve or to improve on a particular issue, this is a good way to talk to parents about something that I know of and working together to figure out what we can do to fix it.
Okay. So have you released your first installment of those particular books yet?
I have.
Okay. How can people pick that up? And what's the name of the ones that are out at this particular point?
So the one that I have out now is called Bubbles, a Beautiful Butterfly. And it is a children's book on bullying. And it's Bubbles, a Beautiful Butterfly and the bully that Chloe conquers. So this one is a reading book, and I also have an activity book to go along with it. But this reading book you can find either on Amazon or even through my website, again, www.ariacraig.com. And you go through the products tab, and you can be able to purchase the book through the website.
Okay. All right. So do you have social media, other social media platforms that you want to give out?
I do. I'm very active on Instagram. I'm probably okay. More active on Instagram than I am any other platform, but my handle on Instagram is aria.craig. I have a Twitter account, aria_craig. And I also have a group on Facebook. It's called Aria Craig Strategist for Moms.
Okay. All right. So ladies and gentlemen, you can check Aria out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at those particular handles. Is there anything else that you would want the listeners to know about any of your products, about any of your books, or how can they get in contact with you to schedule for speaking engagements?
They can also go to the website, www.ariacraig.com. I do have a menu option for speaking, and then you can click that button and it will take you to schedule an appointment. And then you can also fill out the contract at that point. We'll talk about what exactly the event is about and what you would want me to do from a speaker's perspective. Or you can just contact me on any of those social media platforms. Reach out to me that way.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, before we wrap it up, is there anything else in particular that you want the listeners to know and anything that we haven't touched on at this particular point?
I just want to thank you for being on the show. I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for everybody to get involved in these social issues that we are experiencing, especially with the women's movement now. For single, divorced, and blended moms, really working together to make better decisions to better our children and ourselves at the same time.
All right. All right. Well, hey, we definitely appreciate you being on the show today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have any comments about the show, or if you want to reach out to Aria, you can definitely hit her up at www.ariacraig.com. She says she's active on Instagram the most, so you can hit her there at aria.craig, and that's aria.craig. You can hit her up on Instagram. But if you want to comment about the show, you can always call us at 704-946-6060. That's 704-946-6060. You can leave us a voicemail. You can send me a text. I'll respond to everything. You know, we appreciate you guys, you know, reaching out on all of our other previous shows as well. And you know, we want to continue that particular type of interaction. Aria, we appreciate you. And we're going to be looking forward to the great things that you're going to be doing in the future. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to go ahead and reach out to her, because either you're in this situation or you know some people that could benefit from this information. So definitely pass her information along, and let's put this young woman to work, because she can definitely help you out. Okay?
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on your show.
And it's no problem at all. And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say, and since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect, make sure that you come correct, and you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.